Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Danny Cola. In this episode, I get together with Junior Leoso, Maurizio Tangari, and Gareth G-Money Mustache Ham. We first all got together at Maui Fit 2021. At Maui Fit, we were learning several types of fitness modalities like Landmine University, Hydrocore, Slush Ropes, Steel Mace Flow. We got together and learned in this novel like setting and shared all kinds of information, not only to sharpen our movement practices, but to take these types of methods and take them back to our local communities. And I will say, in the last few years, since I've been kind of embodying some of these practices, I've only become a better mover, a stronger mover, and a way better trainer, because I'm putting myself around these kind of guys that are constantly innovating and thinking of different ways to train the body, train the mind, train different fascial systems, and learn how they all coincide and they're all complementary pieces to one another. We had an epic time. There were definitely relationships that were created and have been kind of blossoming over the last few years, getting to know each other via Instagram and Facebook and all kinds of social media platforms, but also the Maui Fit propelled everybody to kind of get together in Italy. And a lot of the people from Maui Fit got together at Human Fit Project in Vieste, South Italy, where we had another epic time. And these relationships only continue to grow and morph, and it's fun to catch up with these guys and see what's going on and how these methods have impacted their personal lives and their community. So without further ado, here's the podcast. We had an epic time. Junior Leoso, Maurizio Tangari, Gareth G-Money Mustache Ham. If you like what you hear today, make sure to share this podcast with somebody that you love. So without further ado, here's the podcast. Enjoy. Thank you so much for coming in, everybody. We got Maurizio Tangari. We got G-Money Mustache. We got Junior Leoso. What a little party we got going on, guys. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Maui Merry Christmas.
Where everything started, Maui Fit. Look at that.
100%.
Hey, nice shirt.
That's right. That's right. Everybody last gathered together, I mean, obviously in Italy, but before that, the first time was Maui.
Yeah, Maui.
Yeah,
was,
man.
Yeah,
now we get to travel the world.
So, yeah. Hey, can we talk a little bit about Maui? I really wanted to ask a little bit about like how everything's been going since the fires. It's been several months. Talk to me a little bit about the cleanup process and how everyone's been impacted, and what's the demeanor like now?
I'll try to keep it short.
Yeah.
So where we are now since the fires, we still don't have housing. We still have thousands and thousands of people living with friends, family, out of their cars, at the beaches. That part has not yet been resolved. That's going to take some time. The cleanup process has a three-phase schedule. We are just completing phase one. Mm-hmm. Phase one is containing all the contaminants, stopping debris from blowing away in the wind, stopping mudslides from going to the ocean. So all of that has been contained. That actually just came out yesterday, believe it or not. So we are going to start phase two, which is the proper removal. There is a massive debate because some people want to take that toxic debris and bury it in one of our mountains, which is absolutely absurd to even offer that as an option. Mm. So the people, myself included, will be showing up in groups to make sure that our voices are heard and that doesn't happen. The demeanor here is going to be more somber than normal. It's the Christmas season and people are going to reflect on what they have lost. You're talking about multiple generations of families that grew up in the same home that their grandparents grew up in, and they have no photos, no memorabilia, no clothes, no pets. Some have lost loved ones for the first Christmas ever. So this is going to be, in some sorts, probably one of the heaviest holidays. Mm. And so the hope is that we go into next year and get full force here. On the plus side, there is a massive lawsuit happening right now for the people to be able to sue what we are referring to as HECO, which is Hawaiian Electric Company. So Hawaiian Electric Company has been, they have been found very guilty in negligence in the way they prevented things like this from happening, how they abided by the rules. And the long story short is they're going to be ended up having to pay a massive lawsuit when this is all said and done. That could take 5 years. It could take 10 years. But that is in effect. That is already happening.
Well, thank you for that information. I really appreciate it. I know it's a sensitive subject, and I can't imagine what that's like. You know, I can't imagine what that's like living there and experiencing that, and then, you know, going through that hardship with the families. But definitely you guys are going to be bouncing back stronger, and there are things in place. And yeah, thanks for sharing. Appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, this is where, you know, Maui started everything. I learned so much just from interacting with you guys and being in that wonderful place and, you know, experiencing what it has to offer, and just the, you know, relationships can be formed anywhere, but like that was really special. So, G Money Mustache, we got you here. It's really cool to have you here. Maurizio Tangari, repping the Maui tank top. So talk to me a little bit about what you guys are up to over there. What's going on in San Diego?
Oh, he just contacted me yesterday, basically, right?
You know, yeah.
And then he said, hey, I'm coming down San Diego. Say, oh, come down. You know, we have this podcast, so you can jump in and be part of it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Doing a lot of stuff with Mark Wildman lately, right?
Yeah, Mark's been up in LA doing a bunch of stuff together. But even San Diego was where we first connected before Maui Fit, because Junior had a gym at Pacific Beach Training, right. And that's how I met these two gentlemen. They were hosting a certification for the Mace, actually, in his gym, and I accidentally called Maurizio. I got this number. It was like, oh, this guy needs you to bring some stuff to Maui. And I called and I thought it was Junior, and I ended up I remember when we met last.
I don't have a Hawaiian accent. That's what you're trying
to say. Just maybe. He's working on it. But coming out, this group right here, it's been such a great connection. The whole West Coast, honestly. I'm representing Vancouver right now. It's been incredible the way that these types of events and these people have brought other people together.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It was fun, Junior. The way, you know, we put together that was, you know, kind of, you know, improvised, but was fun. It's supposed to be just like, you know, Junior going to Maui, kind of help him out, you know, to start there with the gym and things. And then he came up with this event. And theater more, right, Junior?
Yeah, that's always so fun. And now we're gonna have to have it as a good excuse for everybody to travel the world, you know, pretty soon. If we get a few more of these on the calendar, I'm gonna be living out of a suitcase.
Yeah, you gotta do the seasons, 3 months in each time zone as you move across the globe. Yeah, that's goals,
dude,
for sure.
I trust me, I am not opposed. If I could talk my kid into it, I'd be doing that yesterday.
Yeah.
I told Luca I was buying a house in I told Luca we were buying a house in Italy, and he said, but I can't move to Italy, my friends are here. I said, no, but we'll just go there sometime. Then he got excited.
He could probably make the Italian national football team pretty easy, though. real football, when you throw,
Yeah. Maurizio, you're gonna be proud. You know, this is, I don't know how many conversations he has had with Nono via WhatsApp, but it's been ongoing for the last, since we've left there. And Luca is on a 40-something day learning streak on his Duolingo Italian. He's every day after school, 15 minutes.
That's awesome. So he's in contact with my brother. They've been like in touch through WhatsApp. I don't know how, Facebook maybe. Yeah. Talking is crazy because you know, at the beginning, Junior didn't even know how they communicate, and with my father, and between Junior and Luca, Luca and my father, would be this conversation. You know, probably you'd be excited back.
That's so cool.
See, Nono, the Italian Nono.
Yeah, Nono. So I'll tell you guys, G Money, Danny. In the morning, since Luca got there, he was there for about a week with us. He would go down there and just be chatting with Nono while, you know, having the coffee in the morning. And one day I looked over the balcony. I'm like, you know, oh my gosh, I hope he's not bugging, you know, Maurizio's dad. And Maurizio, your sister, said, no, he's talking to Luca. You know, he speaks Italian. I said, look at those speak Italian.
That's funny.
They sit there, they face to face, and they talk for, you know, 15, 20 minutes every morning, you know? And I'm like, how is this happening? But they're just chatting back and forth, and, you know, the rest is history.
That's the hand.
The hand.
It's a really cool dynamic because obviously family is a big part of what we do and connecting people, but even connecting two generations is something that isn't focused on, I feel like. And especially as the population ages, we're going to be seeing a lot more people of different generations coming into the fitness space, needing help and needing us to be able to connect with them on that level, I think.
Yeah, well, the cool thing in during Human Fit, also during Maui, but you know, the Human Fit more because we were probably wandering around more all together. So we got the opportunity to meet also the local people. Was for me, seeing this connection between people from all over the world and my friends, people they own restaurants, they own bars, or, you know, just my friends, they get along pretty quick. And it was fun to see. It was a fun experience to see how the local they welcome, you know, very warm welcome to all my friends from Human Fit. They came down to Human Fit. This great. I love it. I can see, I mean, there's most of them, they're still asking me, you know. Mallory is a kind of celebrity, you know. He's wandering around by himself, people stopping him, having coffee.
He's got a big personality.
And you know what, Mallory, he won organize his daughter's wedding in Vieste.
Oh, wow.
No shade.
Yeah, so he asked me to plan, to help him out about everything, and say, man, she liked this. Yeah, she loved the place. She liked the idea, everything. So basically, I don't know when going to happen. This year, for this next year, for sure. But I don't know when exactly. So, yeah, it's exciting, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible.
Well, even at the last Human Fit, we had two of our good friends who are trainers. They're trainers out of a junior's gym, but they proposed. Sean?
That's right.
Yeah, no. Garrett.
Garrett. He's got almost the same name as me, so I intentionally forgot it. Yeah, Garrett.
Yeah, you mentally, you didn't want that to happen, so you mentally blocked that.
Yo, he's better at boxing than me. It's out of the
game. Yeah, he told me the other day. Getting married on the cruise boat to Bahamas in September, and Juno will be, you know, you'll be there.
I just booked my room yesterday.
Oh, cool!
Nice.
Wait, my first time on a cruise ship. I've lived along the water my whole life. I've never been on a cruise ship.
Interesting.
Cool.
So let me ask you this: there's so much travel that takes place, and you know, there's a lot of fun things happening all over the world. In the Western world, Junior, as you and I talked about several times, we try to balance like workflow and living that way. Like, what is like, how do we start shifting the mindset to where like we make it more appropriate to be traveling 6-7 times a year with your family and making that count? And like, how the hell do we start even shifting a collective mindset to that, you know, way of living?
I mean, first of all, in the Western culture, it's not shifting your mindset, it's shifting your bank account, right? So we need to figure out if this is logistically possible. What you and I have covered many times is that the balance is difficult in this setting, in our Western world setting. Being in Vieste was an eye-opener for a lot of us, right? We talked about this where the day-to-day work or the day-to-day grind wasn't so grindy, right? It's a very seasonal type of living.
Yeah.
The people there have, and you can see it in Mauricio, the way he lives his life in California, even. The people there are a lot more connected to the earth, to the time, to the year, to the season, to the people. How many times did you walk in a store and everybody knows everybody? You know, that is such a big part of happiness. You know, I think the most recent study that came out about people that lived to be over 100, that lived longer than those guys, were the people with the tightest communities and the largest group of friends. Here, we don't really have that, right? In America, since you're a little boy, at least, you know, in our side anyway, it's you only get one or two good friends in your lifetime. You know, there's one guy you could trust. Everybody else is just acquaintances. Well, we now know that that's not true. You need a real village, you know? So before we can get to the point where we're traveling all the time and experiencing this life, I think we could start on our own neighborhoods. We can get to know our neighbors. We can have more dinners with our friends here. We can build that culture. So one, we have that serenity here. And two, we don't feel the urge to go find it elsewhere. That's the first thing, right? Coming from a place where I come from in Hawaii, this is the norm. Money here certainly isn't abundant, and we were thrusted into the Western society in one generation, right? Partly through the 1940s and 50s, guys were, you know, having money in your pocket wasn't a thing. You didn't need that, and you lived happily ever after, into instantly needing it for literally everything you did outside the door. So if I were to digress here a bit, changing our mindset on how we see ourselves in our community, on our block, is first. When people talk about things like recycling, cleaning up the earth, making sure, you know, we're living as green as possible, the first thing I ask them is, what do you do on your block to make sure that happens? What are you doing on your block, your street, between you and the next stop sign to ensure you're living that life? Because if you're not doing it, why the hell would other people do it, right? And so that becomes my basis for how I consider all things.
Yeah. One interesting thing. It was fun to hang out with Junior and Luca after the event, because he stayed, you know, for a few days more longer. So I kind of had the pleasure to bring him around, you know, to be more chill and, you know, and not the stress waking up and you know, plan things. So we kind of hang out, go to the restaurant. We went to the sea caves. And, you know, one thing that clicked to me was creating this connection between Vieste and Maui. And like Junior say, you know, there's something that I don't see here in U.S., probably in little places. I don't know, but I don't have experience. But, you know, when knowing Junior and being in Hawaii several times and, you know, specific to Maui, I sense the sense of community and family that is very eradicated in my culture in Italy. So I can kind of say, you know, Vieste is like kind of the Italian version of Maui, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, we respect the elderly, we listen to the elderly. We are very, very connected to the tradition, to the history. And again, you know, what the mayor of my town is doing, you know, in the last like few years is like, you know, making very, eco-friendly, you know, the nature, respect for the nature, respect for the culture, for the tradition, for the food, for everything. So what it clicked to me, hey, why we don't create this real connection, bring like, you know, you know, people from Maui that can represent Maui, bring it to Vieste, and we can kind of share, you know, this two world and kind of create like, you know, a mix or see where we can link together in somehow, right? So probably this is something that also will happen during this human feat with Junior. See what kind of tradition from his land we can bring to my land, and you know, maybe we can link together there. They'll be fun. They will be fun experience. So I want to see where we can go with that.
Yeah. That'll be really cool. That'll be really cool. To this day, Maurizio, side note for Danny and G Money. To this day, we get a good chuckle. My son will just blurt out of nowhere, nudie duty, and we just start cracking up. So when we were on the boat flying down the sea, on the side, Maurizio goes, "Hey, this is where they filmed the movie Wonder Woman." And we're looking over there like, wow, you know, I think we even have binoculars. We're like, wow. Below at the very bottom on the beach was a couple of people just enjoying the sunshine with nothing on. And my little kid, you know, at 7, 8 years old, just started cracking up. So Maurizio called it the nudie duty, and we sped by, and that has stuck with him ever since.
That's awesome. Still saying that? That's funny.
But this is full of classic money. That is one thing for sure.
Well, I mean, it's there's a... Probably, you know, not just the fact that Luca, but there's a lot of people that came to Human Fit also. They keep like bringing up memories and you know, all the time, you know, when we talk. So, I mean, that's a great thing about traveling, you know. And I mean, fun because I don't really refer to this event as, you know, oh, working out or, you know, I mean, more for me, it was more like, you know, okay, come there and have a great time. And then, okay, we also learn, we also teach, we do what we have to do, because at the end of the day, you know, there's coaches, there's, you know, trainers. But I mean, from what I recall, when I speak with people that have been there, they never mention the training. They never like say, oh, remember, so good. No, everybody talk about the food. Everybody talk about, oh, the beach. Everybody talking about that guy there. Yeah. I mean, nobody told me and said, oh, the landmine was great. You know, the like, okay. Yeah. Hey, like, forget about it. There's better things, right?
Yeah. My favorite night, I don't know about you guys. I want to hear what your guys' favorite night was. Was for me the night at your friend's house, man. The dinner at the friend's house was the best. I walked into this little place just before everybody got there. We were kind of seeing the lay of the land as he was herding the goats and all whatever else. And we ate this ricotta cheese. My goodness. Do you remember that, Maurizio?
Yeah.
Man, that was like a gold mine. It was like this. I mean, I've never had anything like it, and I wouldn't eat it here. If somebody said, "Hey, you want some of this?" I said, "Ah, maybe." I ate that whole dish.
The mess, the garage, and the wine, and they were making. Basically, they were preparing everything in the garage.
It was really good.
They were like, you know, a wash machine. They were like mechanical part, all things, and there was salami, there was cheese, there was wine, yeah. And.
My favorite part about that is that there's loaves of fully cooked bread just lying around arbitrarily, like shoes. There's like a bread facing this way. There's some beautiful bread up here. There's just bread somewhere, you know, like anywhere. That was my. I just absolutely loved that.
You know, yeah. That was great. That was a great night.
The other one that would be up for competition for sure is the serenading of Danny Cola and. Yeah. Guitar players. Three guitar players at the party balanced everything out, and the karaoke was phenomenal.
Oh, by the way, Danny, you better train your guitar skills, because the other day I spoke with Cedric.
Yeah.
He's training hard. He's
really every day.
He's committed next year to impress
anyone. And George.
So
George was the other one.
It's up to you. Gotta see.
Listen, I try to play every day for 20 minutes, me and my kid. Maybe the last couple days we've kind of like slacked a little bit because of the holiday shit that's been going on. But every day, man, I do a little singing. I recently went to Nashville, okay?
Yeah. And,
dude, I'll tell you, and I was in a band growing up from the time I was 13 to 19. Going up and down Broadway, and every single bar you go into has like multiple live bands playing. It was so amazing to watch and just feel the passion of these like aspiring superstars. You know, everyone, they want to be big musicians, you know, and then they're playing all kinds of covers, songs from the 90s, catchy country songs. It like, and I wasn't a huge fan of country before going to Nashville, but I went and like I got bit by the country bug. I loved it so much. And then I came back and I'm playing new songs on the guitar, playing all this country shit, Shania Twain. I'm playing, Four Non-Blondes. I'm singing, what's the other girl? Alanis Morissette. I got a pen in my pocket. I'm singing all this shit. I'm just like, wow, this is like, and I'm appreciating like the level of brilliance behind it all. And there's so much when it comes to music. But yeah, side note, I'm practicing and I'm ready to play with Cedric and, George, and have a good old time and just call out songs and sing with everybody, because you know singing is a really fucking healthy thing, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when we're singing together, and you know music has emotion in it, right? And when we're singing it back at each other, we're kind of mirroring that emotion out there, and I just think it's wonderful. It's super healthy, and I'm ready. Shit. But go ahead.
Well, we were dancing. We were line dancing at the some sort of Italian line dancing and YMCA at the farm, right, Junior? Junior was.
Hey, I'm not one to get on the dance floor, but I am not going to be called out by somebody. I'm going to get my butt up there. If somebody calls me out, I got to show them.
You got to dance.
Oh, no, we did. Yeah. We put it 100%.
I had about 16 plates of food, and I still got up there and did that. So that's what happened.
Are we ever going to talk about the training or? The food and the things, like half an hour into the pod.
That was the best part by far.
So I will say, if you want to talk about the training, and I got to see this from like multiple views, but it was, the hydro core on the piazza was fucking badass. Right, just kind of watching that, and then all the like, and there wasn't a ton of locals, but there was, you know, some walking by, like, what the heck is that thing over there? What are they doing? You know, and then the beach, the running, it was just fun to see all that. You know, that was cool.
This year we're gonna drive more curiosity of the local, because
every workout's gonna be taking place over there. It's gonna be it's gonna be cool.
So, and all the tools that basically, I mean. I don't think this pretty common to see in Italy, those type of tools. I mean, it's rarely you see here in US in some conventional gym.
Yeah.
But they will be all in the same place. They'll be, I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of, you know, interesting. And I don't know if there is an event like that where we bring all these unconventional tools in the same environment at the same time, you know, and
sort of take over the town.
Yeah, but just that, also different coach, they use the same tools in so many different way, and, you know, putting their own personality. And
let me ask you guys this personally: how much do you guys do landmine, mace, club, and kettlebell and hydro core into your own workouts on a weekly basis? Like, I use it every day with my customers, my clients, like mace almost, you know, if not every day, every week. Club, same thing. It's like, you know, a nice programming, coupling 2 days and 2 days, and a combination of conventional stuff too. But I find myself doing clubs and mace regularly with customers. Personally, I'm doing it every other day. But what is the most the one modality, and you guys could all go down the line here, that you guys use kind of like regularly, that's your favorite?
What answer, Junior?
Oh, me?
Yeah, Junior, let's hear you, pal.
My go-to is always going to be the landmine and the kettlebell. I don't own clubs at the house, so I rarely use those. The only mace I have is the mace that I've always had, the 10-pounder, and I'll play with that once in a blue moon when I get motivated or I get inspired by watching one of you guys online. But generally speaking, I am a very basic landmine guy. I can't get away from it. It's one of the one things that I can do. You know, my personal favorite position or movement is the pounce squat on the landmine. And I once told Alex that, right? And Alex goes, yeah, but that's the only one you don't have to coil.
Yeah.
And then I felt bad.
You guys took it out, right? Took it out completely, or is it still in there just to show the forward intent and lean?
We use it to show the forward intent so that people understand how to drive. Yeah. But, you know, for me and my body type, that's the one move where I feel like I can get low again. I get in an athletic position. You know, I don't enjoy a lot of those back squats as much as I once did. So for me, that's one of my favorites. So, you know, I'm doing deadlifts, squats, presses on the landmine just about 3-4 times a week. And I use a kettlebell just about every day. So I wake up, go outside of my backyard. I do a little 15-minute kettlebell circuit, have my tea, and then I wake my kid up and we start the day.
Nice. What about you, Maurizio? How are you moving? How are you moving lately?
Well, lately I've been using a lot the sledge. And I've been using all the body weight movement using a weighted vest.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of body weight stuff, to be honest. Kind of exploring the direction again. You know, I started when I first approached to, let's say, this unconventional fitness, I started with the tactical fitness, and there was a lot of body weight stuff. I kind of let go a lot because, you know, with HydroCore and other stuff I was doing, but I kind of enjoy lately. I feel like I feel so good. I feel so safe also because I don't have to load myself. It's just my body weight, basically. And I put like a 40-pound weight at best. That's the only thing that I load myself. But, you know, I mean, that's very safe to do it, you know.
Yeah. And before G Money answers, Mauricio and Junior, how much has this type of workouts improve your like sense of not having pain anymore? Right? Like you guys are, well, Mauricio, you're in your 50s, Junior, you're in your 40s, right? Talk to me about some of the pain that you guys once had that you maybe you don't anymore, or talk to me about like what you feel in general in this stage in your life.
For me, I feel less pain when I don't go to jujitsu class. So that's been a ringer for me.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I don't ever feel pain when I use the landmine, which is why I'm so drawn to it. Before Landmine University was a thing, I had worked out with Alex and he was showing us some of his ideas. And the very first thing that I got from that was I could press something and it didn't destroy my wrist. So I don't know if you guys know this, but my right wrist is pretty much frozen there, right? So I can't go up or down. And so I don't do things like push-ups or bench press or anything. The kettlebell felt good because I could keep my wrist sturdy. The landmine was the first time I pressed something in years, and it felt good. And so for this one sole reason, I was kind of drawn to it. Then, since we can get in an athletic position when we do anything with our legs, my knees don't hurt. My back and hips don't feel any pain. So for me, I haven't really thought about, you know, avoiding movements or anything like that because everything feels good.
Nice.
And yes, I'm 43.
43.
Yeah, I'm a 54. But yeah, basically, you know, pain I used to have that went away because I changed my training routine. And if sometimes, you know, I kind of get that desire to use a barbell and go heavy and things like that, you know, sometimes I have like a little discomfort in my low back, you know, basically bring back pain. But to be honest, I mean, the landmine was completely, you know, opened, you know, the made me love again using the barbell because of, you know, the conventional deadlift or squat, everything that you can do at the gym, it's not fun. I mean, I don't know, people say, I don't see any fun on that, right? So, and
I'll say this, like you get to a point in a phase in your life where you've done the heavy weight on a barbell back squat before, and like you've gotten to that point where you've done 315 or maybe even more than that, maybe you're, you know, creeping up on 400 and you've done a couple reps, two, three, whatever, but then like, how long do you want to keep that shit up for real? Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, but it's fun because, you know, I had the pleasure to hang out at a junior gym in PB with Devin and Jared. We were always like, you know, working out. I mean,
Jared's a monster.
Yeah, Jared's a monster. He started loving completely, you know, the unconventional training system. He was like a bodybuilder, you know, he did competition also. And, you know, time to time, we went back, you know, to lifting, right? You know, and kind of challenging each other on the bench, things that I never do it, like, you know, oh, let's squat.
Yeah.
But it was fun because, you know, me as the old dude in the gym, you know, say, okay, let's do it. 300 pounds, you know, one max rep or two rep on the bench. I was surprised I could do it, but obviously that's a process that you automatically, you know, learn how to do it. You know, you don't know, right? You know, it's just like, oh, you never bench press. So, but, you know, challenging me, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? So that was interesting. Yeah. But again, to answer to your question, I feel great. I mean, now lately, using the sledge, pushing and pulling the sledge and walking backward. And
wait, you're saying sledge? Or do you mean sled?
Yeah.
These Italians, I swear to God. No, I'm just.
I mean, just
sorry. What the fuck does he mean sledge?
Is like,
what?
Yeah. Proper. It is actually proper sledge, but yeah. These people. Can't I know. English.
Yeah, but now, for example, we are in an office on the top of my house. Is a little office. I have this staircase, the spiral staircase to go up. And I always had this comfort in my knee every time I had to climb or come to the office. Matter of fact, I moved my computer downstairs like last year because mm-hmm. it was going up and down. But since I've been done all this pulling, pushing, and walking backward, and body weight again, and low impact training, man, my discomfort is gone completely. I have no more discomfort in my pain. And we were talking the other day, we were chatting yesterday, me and Junior. I was telling a story about, you know, I got injured very badly on my neck, C3, C4 compression. I'd like, you know, almost like, you know, paralyzed my left side of my body. It was in pain for months and months. And even those pain that I used to have in the past, they're completely gone, completely rehab. Things that even the guy that took care of me, he say, man, I never seen someone getting out 100% from this type of injury, because people will do usually when they feel somehow better, they start doing the shit they used to do it. You know, they don't do the rehab.
Yeah,
but
right.
But because of, you know, in time I built that kind of, you know, knowledge, understanding, I'll take care of myself, you know, that helped me a lot, you know, to understand, take care of my body and this discomfort, you know, without going all the time to a doctor or yeah. getting pills. That's what people do all the time, right?
Those pills.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that mostly our community is doing, you know, it's not, I mean, I don't think it's about, it's not that. I see a lot of people, they're not coaches approaching this type of system. And I see people really know how to take care of themselves. I mean, we have tools, we have access to so many. I mean, the fact that we have created communities, so such a, we take care of each other. I mean, if I call, I have a friend like in the community that, you know, the doctor or, you know, someone that more expertise in discomfort, other things, I just call him and say, hey, man, what I can do, that we help each other. Things that usually that don't happen in any conventional gym with other coach. You know, you have to go there, you have to pay, you have to go through a process, or, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like, you know, I kind of privileged to have access to tools and people. They really helped me in the last 10 years to always get better and be better.
Yeah. Also, like, fall in love with exercise again. Because let's face it, there are days where you don't want to do it. You know, you don't want to do much, and you know, you gotta exercise consistently in order to feel those gains, right? To be pain free, to be aesthetically pleasing, to you know, whatever those goals are for yourself, to be strong in many ways. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. So you want to have fun with what you're doing. So for me, like landmine and mace and clubs and kettlebells, it's like so fun that like there's no option. You're gonna do it. You know, it's fun. It's so fun. But what about you, G Money? How have you been moving lately? I've been seeing you moving that big ass sword and big maces.
After you,
yeah,
this shit.
So I mean, I can pretty much touch on pretty much everything that they said, just coming from a slightly different angle. I'm 29 years old, and everything that I do is trying to optimize my sporting ability to try and gain as much of that as long as possible.
You're a hockey player, right? You're a goalie.
Life hockey. I actually play goalie and out, which are completely different positions, and there's a lot of overlap in jiu-jitsu. Lower body movements and goaltending. So when I got to that, my movement style was in a tier that it shouldn't be in for somebody who's just stepping into that position. And it's just because of the lower body mobility stuff, which major things that we do for that. So basically me and Mark Wildman have been working very closely on getting all of the tools together that really do make the biggest difference. And kind of building this pantheon. So mace, I mean, that's where I came into the first event that I ever went to was at Junior's gym, and it was a mace event. Every morning I'll be doing Mace 360s and whatever to open up my rib cage, breathing exercises. Heavy clubs are an absolute must for me, just to get that strength and power production, as well as getting up and down off the ground with something heavy in your outstretched arm. Kettlebells do the same thing, just you can tuck them closer. I do tons of get ups and get downs. Deck squats are a huge thing in our programs for actual like high level strength training and exertion. And then Landmine fits in perfectly with actual sporting drive and everything that I do for explosive maneuvers. I incorporate the Landmine, and I legitimately introduce all four of these tools to every single human that I meet, because these are the things that will get you to a plane of movement that most people just can't even imagine, really. And it is so intuitive. Once you get, like, even the kettlebell swings, we do the same internal, rotation of the arm with the thumb back, turns into the exact same coiling of the Landmine. Like, these are the reason why we can put all these things together, is because they actually do mesh. And this is the truth of movement that we're finding through all these tools, but it all leads back to the same thing. And yeah, for me, being able to share this kind of stuff. One of the other things I started with was super light clubs. So Indian clubs I've been a bartender for 10 years, and I had tennis elbow and all kinds of things. And even the small joint articulation of Indian clubs has helped with a lot of what I've been doing, but it's exactly the same moveset. It's just a different tool using the same concepts and principles that we all believe in, because we've all used them to help our own bodies.
It's interesting, because the other day I was at the gym and I was doing some halo, just using the plate.
Yeah,
that's all. I was nothing crazy, nothing fancy. I just was using a plate and doing halo and reverse lunges. That's all I was doing. And there was this guy, probably in his 60s, that he said, I was doing all of the crazy shit, obviously, you know. So I was doing all this kind of stuff, but I never done this. And then I told him, I can tell. Because, you know, he just, like, you know, create that natural, like, you know,
round
slouchy
age.
And then I was showing him for like 5 minutes, you know, how to probably do the halo, what you have to do, the breathing part and things like that. And the guy was just blowing, man. He was saying, why anyone in, like, you know, 60 years, I've had like personal training and this, that, show me this. It's ridiculous, because I mean, that's probably, you know, using a mace, let's say doing the 360 with the mace, doing, like, you know, hydro core, doing halo with hydro core, doing like the spin, whatever, bringing an object behind your head, you know, behind your neck,
or reaching behind you, something that we do all the time that we don't do in our training at all.
Yeah, that should be the first thing trainer need to teach to a person when he go to the gym. And also, you know, the anatomical breathing, like, you know, inhale, exhale, up. But also another interesting thing that this guy, they had no, I mean, I was doing also rubber band neck exercise and things like that. I mean, that's something they never do it. They never show at the gym. I like, just put a band here attached to something and move your head side to side. Sometimes it can strengthen your neck and strengthen all the muscle behind your shoulders. That's so important. And I see, like, the gym lock to this thing. I see trainer do always the same crap over and over. And it's always that is interesting. It looks like they train every person, like, is rehabbing from something. It looks like, you know, everything they're doing, like, you know, this kind of rehab. So, you broke a leg? Why you train like this? You broke a leg, or, you know, you had some kind of injury? I mean, don't need to train like that all the time. I mean, just do the basic things, you know. I mean, sometimes it's just crazy.
Yeah, I think the other thing, you were even talking about going back to barbells. So I didn't have a background in barbell work and been doing all of this strength and mobility with those four tools that we talked about. And then now I've got access. There's a barbell in my home gym, and I have begun going through the Olympic lifts, and I'm showing people I mean, they're garbage. They're absolute garbage, my movements, but I can get down to a squat position that basically is unheard of for the average person. And people are just like, oh, you've already got the Olympic level low squat. We just need to load that up and figure out how to find the spot in between. And likewise, so much upper body mobility work, I can do overhead squats. Would I tell anybody they should do overhead squats? Absolutely not, unless you've been doing, you know, insane things your whole life. But the fact that I can turn around from these movements and have that type of mobility, I mean, that's the final tier of movement in the traditional fitness world. And I'm basically just kind of going back on and just like, oh, so this is actually really easy. If you've done all these things that you're supposed to do naturally for your body, you can put yourself in these obnoxious, unrealistic positions. And it's very fun.
I can tell you've been hanging out with Wildman a lot.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
That's awesome. Now, are you done living in Vancouver? Are you down in the States for good? I see you a lot in the States working in California. What's up with that, man? What's going on with that?
Up down here, so actually I'm visiting my mom and my family right now, but I've been spending the last 2 months.
The mom one is back, one right? Is baby back.
Oh boy,
yeah. Stop with this Canada crap, okay?
Well, literally the reason why I got into this and the reason I went to that event at Maui was because she broke her neck and requested basically that somebody in the family learn how to take care of people who are rehabbing. And that's where this whole drive has come from. And we're 3 years later now. She's just doing stick fighting and fucking maces with the Flowing Dutchman at our
warehouse,
Los Angeles, Art Asylum, LA. That's where we manufacture these maces. It's a huge that brings together a lot of everything that we've been talking about today. But the connection between Southern California and fitness is immutable. This is the hub of everything that's going on. I brought it up to Canada. I'm actually bringing all of this to Japan in like 2 weeks. Nice. I've got a month in Japan where I'm going to be. I've got connections with a few gyms that all want everything that we're doing here. They're about 10 years behind us. Canada's about 5 years behind us. But I have not been shutting up for the last 3 years. And so there's a lot of things moving in really cool directions, but it is all based on these things that we've been building together in this little community for the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. The hub is in Southern California. I knew there was a lot of good things going down around there, but the way you said that.
In jiu-jitsu thing, San Diego being a hub for that, they're guys who are into mobility, they're into breath work, they're thinking about the next stage of movement. And that's, I think, a big connection point here too.
Great. Yeah, Mark has been doing a great job with the Art Asylum. Every time I see it, it's something different, and he's changing something, adding something. And Dutchman was telling me about the maces you guys made and showed me some pictures. So those are pretty badass.
They are pretty badass. And
so what's actually, how are they different from the Onnit maces? How much do they weigh? Give me the rundown.
So these are. We're calling them the battle ready maces, because if you actually look online, if you buy any mace, it says warranty voided if you smash. They're not designed to smash. They're made in China. We've tested this out. They are not made to smash. The man who started the manufacturing of these that I have been lucky enough to assist with, he's got like 400 patents with the US Navy. He's the highest level of welder you can possibly be in the universe. And so now we're just taking all of his knowledge and applying it to what we already understand as the kinetic completion of the movement. So we do staff fighting, we do hammer swinging, but it's all to demonstrate why we do the movements we do. Why do you do a 360? You do a 360 to do a really big windup to smoke something. That is what the movement was designed for. That's why humans do it. And so these you can smash on tires. They're made of totally different steel. The gauge widthness is much stronger. They are not anything similar to the standard mace, but they are within the same weight range. So these are only about 14 pounds. We are making larger ones and smaller ones. But the main difference would be the robust nature of them. And again, the man, Wes Fenton, Westland Builds, he is a Boo Hurt fighter. So you were talking about neck training. I put on a 10-pound great helm.
That was crazy.
And this 6'3", 270 guy absolutely unloaded on my head with a mace. But this is all designed for that. So the helmet was fine, but I was fine because I play hockey and I get hit in the head all the time. But I could feel the next day, specifically in my neck. That was the only place I had any discomfort. I was like, oh, okay. I had to like resist force there. So it actually made me think about neck training more and all kinds of things. But really bringing together a lot of kinetic force in a healthy, scalable way is the objective. So we're going to have smash programs that come out for this, as well as our major keg hammer. And the stick fighting has been the kind of revolutionary piece that we are the only people in the world that are actually doing. It's based on some military brain training that fighter pilots used during the Korean War. And we just incorporate that and create a play system that allows people to learn martial arts faster than ever before.
Okay. We're going to have yes, at Human Fit.
Yeah, we're going to be everywhere. And okay. These are the great people. Sure.
That's amazing. Like I will say, just like having conversations like this get me like super jazzed up to just keep going with the journey and like delivering it in my unique way to my local people. Like Junior was saying, start local with your own community, create that culture and do stuff like this. And you guys really put an exclamation point on it for me because you get so enthusiastic and they are so beneficial. And yeah, I never felt the connection between doing mace and real life stuff until we started doing the stick fighting. I was like, wow, okay, that's exactly why we're fucking moving this way, right? To build that kind of force and to protect yourself. And, you know, we've gone through so much history with that kind of fighting and that kind of defending of ourselves. It's very interesting stuff. So thank you guys. You guys are so inspirational and it's so fun what's building out here. What we're building here, whether it's on the internet or all over the world, you know, with Human Fit or Maui Fit or teaching some of these modalities at your own gyms or whatever. It's really cool.
It's awesome.
It's great.
And then people like you bringing us all together in the meantime. I mean, we can only be in one place at a time, but the Danny Pakola podcast, I'm always excited to see what's on there.
We got to talk about this stuff. I mean, it is a very interesting dynamic of moving and training and how it's like, you know, how beneficial can it be? And the only way we can know that is by, you know, doing the practice and seeing what the results are over time and to ask questions and see what you guys are seeing and, find the commonalities and find those patterns. So, I mean, the world needs this kind of shit more than ever now. And, yeah, go ahead.
You know what is interesting, and that's what I noticed, what connect with Junior or anyone in this community, that like you just say, you know, the enthusiasm is selling whatever we're doing, because we're not trying to sell a product. We
no.
just do that we like to do it. Mm-hmm. We find beneficial for me. Then when I go to him, say, hey, man, can you show me to do mace? And I say, oh man, this is fucking cool. I love it. I love to do these things. You know, there's some people who just get in that zone with me. So, you know, Junior, because you have some client that, you know, you never thought probably in your life that they're going to do maces, right? And I see how they move better. They're better posture now. They're still training, you know, with Kate Jarrett. They post some stuff, you know, sometimes. The amount of range of motion they gain, the amount of mobility they gain, it's just crazy. I mean, the only place I've seen people in this 80, 90 years old mm-hmm. in the gym was a Junior place. I never seen a person in a wheelchair. What is the old lady they train with the HydroCore sometimes?
Cheryl,
how old is she? 90 something?
Cheryl, yep.
90. She was like,
we just saw her at the,
She was punching with Devin and doing HydroCore Halo and moving things. She was in a wheelchair, and the other, like Bill, is like 80 something, 90 almost, and he's just spinning HydroCore and doing crazy shit. But you know, the thing is that they doing because they, I mean, it's not boring. They're fun while they do it. I've seen it, witnessed my eyes going there. and they just, they have so much fun. You know, they go back every day, 5 days a week, they're in there training. Things that doesn't trigger anyone. They always play this trainer roulette. When you go to the gym, I go to the same place. I'm in a little community here in La Jolla. I see people like, I know people from like almost like 15 years since I moved here. I've seen them changing trainers. They all look the same, man. They all look the same. The 15 years, they all look like shit. They all train every like 2 months. They're all the same shit. They do the same shit. They're hoping that, man, it's not the trainer. It's the same shit you're doing over and over. They don't get it, you know? They just need something to trigger. They get bored. They spend tons of money with this kind of things. I mean, just crazy.
Yeah, like, honestly, everything that I've learned in the fitness industry has in some way been exemplified by what I saw at Pacific Beach Training. I was a, you know, manager up at a Gold's Gym franchise in Vancouver, and there were so many things. I was just like, you guys know this would be better if we just did it this way. And I only learned that in like 5 minutes from talking with Junior. And you've been so kind in reaching out and a huge resource to, I think, everybody in this community. And just being that kind of pillar for something like this is really important. I don't think it really could have happened the way it did without people like you guys just holding it down and, you know, helping.
Right on. Appreciate that.
Dude, you guys, this has been an hour. I got to respect everybody's time. Yeah, it's been an hour. Just a quick conversation like that. So, the whole idea here is to connect and talk more about our previous experiences at these events and share stories and, you know, talk about our, you know, passion for some of these tools and how we're using them to help people ultimately, the way we think about life, the way we think about living, whether that's working all the time or traveling more. It's like at the end of the day, we want to be happy. We want to, connect with others. We want to have good relationships. Yes, we want to make money and build business and all that stuff that all comes with it. At the end of the day, we want to be healthier and happier. And just knowing that you guys are out there doing things like this, it inspires me to keep going and to come together. It's always cool. So anybody have any final thoughts that they want to share?
No, I appreciate you having us, Danny.
Absolutely, dude. Of course, anytime. Thank you so much for your time today, Junior. G Money, what do you got? Closing thoughts?
Just that I'm very happy that you're keeping up again the connection points, and don't let any of this die on the branch. We're running for it. Let's go.
Fucking love it, Maurizio. Close it out.
It's fun. We meet every week, basically. So I'll go see you next week with the next guest.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. My name is Danny Cola. You can follow me on Instagram at Danny Cola Fitness and check out the YouTube for clips of this episode at Danny Cola TV. If you're looking to get more information about Human Fit Project 2024, you can check the show notes for the Human Fit Project website. All the information will be set up there. So, thanks again for tuning into this episode. And if you like what you hear today, make sure to share this podcast with somebody that you love. Without further ado, that's it. Thank you. All love. We'll see you next time.